Well, Psalms chapter 127, we're going to take a slight detour from the topic of synergy and talk this morning about the best Christmas gifts you can give your children this Christmas. And boy, we get through Thanksgiving and all of a sudden the pressure and the cultural shift and the sabotage of just everything you must do in order to prepare for Christmas. In fact, you can't even enjoy the whole day of Thanksgiving anymore because you got to get to certain stores by 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 in the afternoon to get the best deals and so on, and then stay the night in tents and do all kinds of crazy stuff that people do to save, a few dollars, and it only took them 18 hours to do it. And these kinds of things. And this is kind of the mode now that our culture is in as you're seeing media and advertisements and so forth. And certainly there then can be kind of a pressure on moms and dads of what you must do in order to make Christmas what it should be for your children. I just want to talk a little bit, maybe provide some perspective and some balance to those things. Psalms chapter 127, and if you don't have kids, by the way, this is a great time to learn these things. Psalms chapter 127 and verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. That's kind of a theme verse for our class, as we want the Lord to build our homes and we want to build it to His blueprint. It is in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for He giveth His beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. If God has blessed your family with children, then you indeed are blessed. You're given an incredible gift from God, and you have an awesome responsibility to steward that. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Some of you need to be thinking about that in terms of your family. You've got a few more to go. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So, happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. Quiver full of arrows. He's got a lot of children, and they are rearing them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They are building their home according to the blueprint that God has designed. And they're thinking of their children as gifts from God, and they are embracing the responsibility that they have to train these children according to the Word of God. And you take that biblical premise, and then it collides with this time of year. And what does that look like? How do we apply the biblical premise and the patterns and the goals of the Lord to a season such as this? And that's really my prayer this morning, is that this lesson and kind of a light-mannered holiday weekend would just provide some balance and perspective to every person in here regarding the Christmas season. The American Research Group surveyed over 1,100 adults between November 15th and 20th of this year and reported that the average family plans to spend just under $950 on Christmas gifts alone this Christmas holiday. Now, I don't know what your budget is for Christmas. Ours would be a little less than that. I don't know what your budget is for Christmas this year, but I want to say a few things just by way of introduction, and today's going to be a little different in the teaching style. There's a couple of main points, and then just kind of me sharing from my heart. You can just listen from your heart. If you want to write something down, you can do that as well. But I just want to encourage you, practically speaking, as you're going into Christmas, with those thoughts in mind of surveys and what people are going to spend, and they're going to spend in the store, brick and mortar, or online, and gift cards or tangible gifts or whatever. You can study the data. There's quite a bit of it out there. But can I just encourage you, by way of introduction, make sure you have a Christmas budget. It's not a good idea to go into debt to give somebody something they don't need. Now, I know culture, the pressure is, that's what you have to do. If you don't have, 400 gifts under the tree for every kid and fulfill their every wish list, then you somehow are the Grinch. It's kind of what culture thinks. And I just want to provide some perspective and hopefully an encouragement to you this morning. You're not the Grinch. The Bible says, with food and raiment, therewith be content. If your children have food to eat and clothes on their back, we're good. And if we can do something beyond that, praise God. And if we can't, it's okay. There's children all over the globe this morning that don't have either. And sometimes, because we live in such a blessed culture and nation, we feel this pressure like, well, we better keep up with the Joneses or else. Or else what? or just fast-tracking raising spoiled people who've never earned anything in their life, who don't know what hard work is. Now, you can kind of tell I was raised a little old school, you know. The idea of like, it's Christmas time. Just give your kids all the money they want and they go buy all the presents they want. Not happening. We tell our kids, you want some money to spend for Christmas? Here's some options for work. Because if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. So why would I train my children that if you want something, I just give it to you? I'm the ATM of their life. And by the way, there's a responsibility I have to provide for my family. If I don't provide for my family, I'm worse than an infidel, the Bible says. So I am to provide a roof over their head and meals to eat and clothes on their back and so on. But when it comes to these kinds of things, I have a responsibility to train them. And so we want to make sure that we have a budget going into something like this. We want to make sure that we have the right perspective and balance. And I'm not trying to incite a disagreement with husbands and wives this morning. That's certainly countercultural to our class. But I would encourage you to have an agreement on Christmas. What are we going to spend? This is something I learned a long time ago, and it works great. Suzanne and I sit down, and we develop the budget for Christmas. Then my answer for the rest of the season, when she says, honey, can we do this? Honey, can we do that? Honey, can we do this? Can we do that? My answer is always the same. Yes, if it fits in the budget. I just have one answer for the next month, you know. And Suzanne is amazing. She's super frugal, and she can take that and stretch it so far. It's incredible. But we just kind of have one planning session, and then we run with it. And I want to encourage you, be in agreement. Because what you don't need is this wonderful season where we're celebrating the birth of Christ being a huge divisive moment in your relationship at home. Where instead of the joy of Christmas morning being about expressions of love, it's about, you know how much that cost and you know how much we're going to be paying for that. And it gets ugly in homes around this time of year. And much of that can be prevented with just some thoughts like what I'm going to share today. So make sure you have a budget. By way of introduction, can I give you some practical ideas before I give you this outline? And I'm going to do this quickly. But here's something my wife and I learned. And I wish, and maybe you may know who we learned it from or when. I don't remember. But here's something. Somebody gave us an idea. And we've done it now for several years. Our children, usually on Christmas morning, will open four presents. And we've categorized them. Something you want. Something you need. Something to play with, something to read. I don't know where we learned that or who we got the idea from. You know, probably somebody's grandma or something, but it's worked out really well. And something you want, something you need, something to play with, something to read. And what we do is we just kind of sit down in our budget. Here's what we're going to spend on Christmas gifts for the four children. Divide that by four. And then here's the categories. And then we just think. Man, what would Mariah like? What would Lydia like? Oh, what are they reading right now? What do they need? That's always the easy one, you know. The needs are, and then you're trying to figure out how can that need be a want, you know. How they could play with those socks. I mean, we could figure that out just this way or whatever, you know. And that's usually my side, you know. And Suzanne's like, honey, come on, we can't do that, you know. And I'm a master at making needs fit every category. But anyway, and so we're kind of going through all of that and how shall it work? And those are some ideas that we've learned over the years that have been helpful to us. And I want to just say there, don't feel like getting caught up on a necessity as a gift is somehow wrong. This idea that, well, if it's not some extravagant, crazy thing that they'll never need, it's not a gift. I don't know where that thinking came from other than just people advertising that need to make money. But there's nothing wrong with meeting a need with a gift. And sometimes the greatest gifts are those. And so, anyway, those are some ideas. Then here's just some other things we've done over the years. Stocking stuffers. And I'm sure most people do that. Some people may not. But you can do that usually pretty inexpensively and make it fun. We every year have done Christmas pajamas. And I think they open them Christmas Eve. Maybe it's the day before. I can't remember. But we do that for the kids and have some fun with it. My wife started this in our home, and it's been fun. It's called a guess present. And 7 days before Christmas, so December 18th on Sunday this year, that night we'll get home from church, and then she will set out the four guess presents. And they'll be wrapped. I mean, they might be wrapped in 30 boxes. You know, I don't know. But they're all wrapped in something. And then the children have to guess what they are. And hopefully they figure out by Christmas. Now, usually they stay up all night the first night guessing till they can figure it out because they want to open it up. But we do guess presents. And that's been a lot of fun. Something we've done in recent years that's really something the kids have enjoyed is what we've called Secret Santa. If that's religiously offensive, you could call it secret angel, or what, I don't know what the other idea was, a secret angel. So secret angel or secret Santa, depending on where your religious doctrine lies in that category. But anyway, the whole premise of it is this: you pick somebody you want to be a blessing to. And for our family this year, we've selected a family. I felt I could share this with our class this year because it's not a film in our class this year, which is the first time. But it was someone else in the church the Lord laid on our heart. And so we've selected a family, and we've begun to think what would be a blessing to this family. And we want to take the kids out shopping and get something for the mom and dad and the children and so forth, and then wrap it and put it in a nice sack and so forth. And then we'll find an evening between now and Christmas when it's dark, 7, 8 o'clock or something, and we'll go to that home, and then the kids love this part. They take the sack of gifts up to the front door and get it kind of nestled in and looking sharp, you know. Then they ring that doorbell a couple times real loud, and then they just take off running. And, man, they want to get out of sight before that door gets open. And then usually the couple of the kids are trying to watch it or maybe take pictures or whatever, you know. And it's just, it's secret giving. And the hope is the family never knows who gave it to them. But I'm telling you, teaching your children the joy of giving, there's nothing like it, because indeed it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so you want to make sure that you're instilling that principle in their heart. My wife is so good about making sure our kids buy for each other and so forth. And it might be, you know, here, you've earned a couple bucks and let's go to the dollar store and everybody get something for everybody. But it's something that they can do one for the other. And so those are just some practical ideas, some things that I wanted to share. Then I want to dive into talking about the greatest gifts that our children need from us in this season. And we're going to take the acrostic of gifts, G-I-F-T-S, and give a couple of thoughts. First of all, number one, for G, they need godly love. Our children this Christmas season need godly love. They need us to show them the love that God has shown to us. I know I'm speaking to professional, busy, responsible husbands and wives, fathers and mothers with more on your plate than you can keep track of in a given day. I know that, and I'm grateful you're here, and I love you, and I hope you know that. But what your children need this Christmas season is your love. I like to do this with our kids when we go around these kinds of discussions, and I'll say to them, what did you get for Christmas last year? And usually one or two of them can remember. Nobody can ever remember 2 years ago. And I'm not saying don't express love and gifts. I'm just saying keep a perspective. What good is it this month if I work all the overtime and I earn all the money and I give all the gifts, but I don't express love or I'm not even there? Is that really the goal? Because one of the things they need from me is godly love. They just need me to express to them the love of the Lord. They need me to accept them. They need me to tell them I love them. Every mom and dad needs to be in the habit of expressing your love to your children verbally in every way possible, expressing that love to them, showing them that love. And the way you do it is time. And boy, I want to encourage you, take advantage of the time together. Sometimes our family has dispensed with gifts altogether or has really modified what we might do so that we could put the funds towards a getaway or a one night or a this or a that to make a memory. And what we have found over the years is our kids remember that much longer than they do the whatever they opened up on Christmas morning. And again, I'm not saying one is right or one is wrong. I'm just saying have a balance and make sure that the expression of godly love is there, and make sure that you're having time with your children this Christmas season, because that is how love is spelled to them. So they need godly love. Secondly, they need instruction. Our children so desperately need training. We live in a culture that is raising entitled people. People with the expectancy of everything at the cost of nothing because of who they are. Can I tell you something? That's not normal. And can I tell you something further? That's anti-biblical. You know what Gabriel rule deserves? An eternity in hell. That's what I deserve. That's what I'm entitled to. I don't have to pick it or wear a t-shirt. That's just what it is. But because of God and His love, grace, and mercy, I know I'm going to spend an eternity in heaven. You know what? That should make me grateful. Not entitled. Not a chip on my shoulder. Where's the next thing coming from and from whom? And why isn't it here already? No. It should make me grateful. Lord, this isn't what I deserve. Thank you. Now, it's on us in this room that God has already blessed with children to pass that down to the next generation. And that's not going to happen unless we train. If the idea is the kids are going to watch all the commercials they want and get all their hopes and dreams built up and then fill out their wish list, and if I could just give you another practical tip, don't have your children fill out a wish list. Well, that's how we did it growing up. Yeah, and you remember all those Christmas mornings you were disappointed because you didn't get what you wanted? And mom and dad created that by giving you the opportunity to express all the things you want. Why don't we get them to express all the things they want to give? Let's get them to write that down. Let's get them going into the holiday season excited to give. And then whatever they get, that's a bonus. And by the way, I have learned as a father that sometimes I want them to write stuff down because it's easier than me having to think through what would be a blessing to them and to try to know them better. And I'm not, if you do Christmas lists and it's how you do it, I'm not here to make you mad. It's Thanksgiving holiday and I love you and I hope you had turkey. But anyway, but I'm just trying to share some stuff with you that I hope is practically helpful and brings a perspective and a balance. And our children need training this time of year for sure to know how they ought to expect and how they ought to behave and how it ought to work. And we need to be consistent in that. We need to enforce that. Sometimes this time of year, we're out of sync. They're living off sugar. The schedule is different. We're out of school some. And we kind of see our kids in a whole different light. And sometimes we step back and go, what happened to my child? And sometimes we're drawn to the awareness that, you know what, we need some training. We need some focus here. We need some consistency and some consequences and rewarding good behavior. But this needs to be a time of instruction. What do our kids need? Godly love. They need your love. They need you. They need time. What do they need? They need instruction. More than me mortgaging the house to fulfill the wish list is to instill in them the tools necessary to succeed. And by succeed, I mean please and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. That's important. And that's going to take instruction. That's going to take training on our behalf as fathers and mothers. Thirdly, they need a fervent and faithful example. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Our children need from us a fervent and faithful example. You know what our children need from us this Christmas season? They need to watch us walk with God. They need to walk into the room and mommy's got her Bible open and daddy's on his knees praying. They need the family to hold hands before meal and talk about what we're thankful for and then thank God for the food and ask His blessing on the home. They need to see that we have a relationship with God and that we're not just communicating to them, do what I tell you to do, but we're saying to them, do as I do. Follow my example and follow my pattern. They need us to be a good spouse. One of the greatest things my dad ever did as a father was be a good husband. I'll never forget growing up in our home and Daddy would always talk about his love for our mom. And he had a kind of a weird way of doing it, you know. He would remind us all the time that, you know, he can only have one wife, he can always have more kids, you know. So we knew where we kind of stood on the totem pole, you know. And if we weren't toeing the line, he could ship us somewhere and he could have more. But only one mom in the house. But Daddy had a way of making sure we knew that he and mom were in love. And I think as we go into this holiday season, if we're not careful, the pressures of this holiday season, what's exposed to our children about our marriage is not always positive. Sometimes it's negative. And what they see in us and what they hear us talk about and the mood and the environment at home, sometimes it's very stressful and full of anxiety and disagreement and because of the stress and the pressure of this season and all the expectations. And sometimes the impression they get now that they're home from school more and everything is like, wow, I wish I could go back to school. When really what they desperately need is just a good example of a good marriage. And that's why, practically speaking, I want to encourage you, go into Christmas with a plan. What are we going to spend? What are we going to do Christmas Day? Where are we going to go? How's this going to work? And not one person in here should feel bad about keeping your family first. Christmas is not about making mama happy. And by that I mean your mom. All the wives in here should be happy, okay? My wife is in here too. I want to make sure that got recorded, okay, Carlos? Don't pull that out tomorrow. And in fact, if you just want to replay that a couple times in the recording, that would be a blessing. That would be, I'll pay you later. But I'm talking about this season is not about, are all the extended family happy? And I'm not saying your goal is to offend all the extended family. I'm just saying, don't go to the level of exertion that, well, everybody else is happy while within the own four walls of your home, it's misery. Why? Sit down as husband and wife and say, what's our game plan? And then communicate to everybody else, this is what we're doing. And it's going to be great. Merry Christmas. And roll with it. And determine that we're going to set a good example. During this season, as part of this good example you're going to set, be faithful to church. If you want your children to grow up and have a real relationship with God and a local New Testament church, they need to see it in you. You know why little Michael Kula is going to get baptized this morning? Because of Mike and Judy's faith back there. That little boy, as I sat on their couch yesterday afternoon, it exemplified to me a desire to, I want to do this. I said, Michael, why do you want to get baptized? And he said to me, because I love God. That was one of the sweetest answers I've ever heard. And we wanted to talk and make sure he knew Jesus Christ as Savior, and we got to all that too. But he wanted to do it because he loves God. And you know where that love of God is coming from? He's watching it. And mom and dad. And we need, our kids need to see us faithful to church. Well, it's Christmas time and it's, you know, the wind blew and I had a sniffle on Thursday and I, you know, I just don't know that I can go. I'm not saying you ought to come in here and vomit. I'm not saying anything like that. Although I will tell you a story one time about 2 years ago, I was in a service and I was just praying that I would make it. And man, the minute that preacher prayed, I took off out of there so fast, it was unbelievable. Anyway, but I made it to the invitation. Then I came and taught. Nobody knew. But anyway, but we want to be faithful to church. And our kids need to see that in us, a faithfulness to the house of God. They need to see us taking responsibility. And can I say this as we think about our example? They need to see us guarding against sin. We may be home more. There may be more entertainment. There may be other things. There may be activities and so on. Our kids need to see you and I vigilant against that which poses a threat to the holiness of our home and being careful. They need to see the right example. Number four. What do they need? Time. And I've touched on this already, so I'm going to fly through it for sake of time. This is how a child spells love. You know what your kids need this Christmas season? Time. They need family time. They need individual time with you. They need focused time. They need fun time. Don't let it be that your children's favorite memories of this Christmas season don't involve you. Don't let it be that. Well, if we ship them with Grandma and Grandpa, they'll take them to Disney World and stay 5 days and get park hoppers. But if we keep them, we can only go hiking down the trail. Go hiking. Why? Because your goal in life is not to make sure your kids have fun with everybody else but you. Your goal is to make sure you make memories, that you're getting their heart, that when they think back on this season, they think, man, remember that time we took that hike and dad fell and mom got lost and little sister got hurt. And I mean, for years, they will look back and say, that was the coolest Christmas ever. I'm telling you, those are the memories they will not forget. Have that fun time. Make sure there's spiritual time. Make sure there's a family time around God's Word. Make sure there's family time in church. Make sure there's time. Lastly, as we're closed, for letter S, what do our kids need? Stability. Stability. You know what many kids out there in America today would tell you if they had the opportunity about what they want? They want a stable home. They want a mom and a dad who are married and who are going to stay married. They want to be in a home where people are growing and getting better. They want to be in a home where they are trained and held responsible and are given consequences when they don't. At the heart of every child, this is not only a need, it is a want. They desire a stable home where there's no regrets. For the next whatever it is, 30, 31 days till Christmas time, there's going to be an incredible pressure from society and maybe even from your own kids, I don't know. This is what we got to do. This is what we got to have. This is the way it's got to be or else. And I, this morning, from my heart to yours, just want to shed a little light and perspective. Keep it in balance. Don't stress out. Plan ahead. Execute the plan. And when you plan, make sure you're giving the greatest gifts. I haven't talked about one idea of a tangible gift yet. I haven't talked about something you'd wrap and put under the tree for the 25th. But I'm talking about the kind of stuff that great homes are made of. And I'm talking about the kind of stuff that kids will remember for a lifetime. Let's make sure our children are getting these great gifts. And by the way, let's make sure God is getting that and our spouse as well. Growing up in our home, my dad would always say, whatever amount of money you're spending on Christmas, for the person in whom you're spending the most, so for me that might be my bride, he always said, make sure you're spending a little more on the gift you give the Lord. After all, it is His birthday you're celebrating. And let's not forget what this is all about the celebration of the birth of a king who changed our life. And let's not let our kids see some frantic, crazy side of our life for a month under the impression that it's all good because on Christmas morning we're going to have stuff. But rather let them see us model the fact that a king has changed our life for this month. And may that leave an impression on their life forever. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for our time together this morning. And I pray that it would be a blessing to our families